Let me bang you.
I do let you bang.
Let me bang you, man.
I let you bang.
Greetings, marriage and virgins.
Go for Jesus. No, forget Jesus, people.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with Greg Romero Wilson and Don Fry. Don Fry, somehow your internet got worse. I don't know. Like, I feel like before you logged on, we had a better connection. Like when you were just home. I could see you though, which is cool. Don, can you hear me? Hello? Don? All right. So I just see Don with a cigar staring at me. But it's going to be a great podcast. We have Dan Hardy joining us too, the Outlaw. He will confirm that we were training partners, Greg, just so you know, because I know that you don't believe that me and Dan Hardy were actually training partners. No.
Of course I believe. Well, I believe that you wrestled together. I don't know that. I don't believe that he took training advice from you.
No, I don't. That's true. That's actually true. I mean, maybe some wrestling advice he took, but not. My wife didn't believe it either, by the way. My wife.
Yeah.
But anyway, so Don just logged off, which sucks because I have I planned the whole show because I can't wait to hear Don. But I think Sean says that he says, I have a wee microphone I'd like to try real quick before we officially start. But he told me this at 12:05. We're supposed to officially start at 12 o'clock. But
welcome to the most professional MMA podcast on earth.
All right, well, let's talk about last night, by the way. So I saw Greg last night. First, I saw you two nights in a row. We did a reading together, a friend.
Yes, we did. You did a really great job too. I gotta tell you, I was very impressed, Adam. You did a very nice job.
I was excited for this. My friend wrote this pilot, and it's this guy's one of these comics that's like, man, there's a whole bunch of them, man, like guys that are hilarious that just don't do it anymore because this business sucks. There's like a, you know, like the Ruspin Eves of the world or guys that are just hilarious. It's like the funniest people aren't the ones that you see on TV. But it's just this business just sucks it out of you. And you go, fuck this. I can make money doing something else, way more money. And blah, I don't like doing the travel. And so when this dude asked me to do the pilot, he's like, hey, I wrote this pilot. There's a part for you. I was like, fuck yeah, just because this dude's, I knew him as hilarious 20 years ago. So of course I want to do it. Like, it's not like, so, you know.
It was just funny that the two, it's telling what they think of you. You find out what someone thinks of you when they ask you to read a role. And the just for the audience's sake, just so you know, that the role Adam was asked to read for was of the hacky asshole comic who somehow was successful. What they cast him as, okay?
Yeah.
And then me, I was cast as a pervert hooker hiring ventriloquist. So it was really a window into exactly what he thinks of us and of our comedy. And I was just like, okay, well, you know, listen, yeah, I'm not going to argue it too much. I'm not a ventriloquist, but the rest of it I can go along with.
But then I saw you last night at the Dime Bar, which is pretty cool. So
it was a good night at the Dime Bar. It was one of those nights where there was actually a little bit, there was a crowd and they were actually laughing and having fun. I mean, I hate to say it. It's like we get an audience, but they seem to be this disbelief audience. Like, I'm almost like, are you other comics? Are you? And they're not. They're just assholes sometimes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why are you not wanting to have fun? Like, these are good comics doing good stuff. I don't know what the fucking problem is sometimes in that room. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, no, last night was good. We had this girl that somebody said, "Hey, will you book this girl?" And I'm like, she was in the movie Joe Dirt 2. And I had never heard of her. And then I like tell my wife about her. She's like, "Wait, that girl's doing your thing? I'm the biggest fan." Blah, blah, blah. Like all of a sudden my wife wanted to go. Never wants to go to my shows. This girl, Charlotte McKinney. And I look at her and she's like, been in 100 movies. She was a Carl's Jr. girl, like model 2.0. And she was actually pretty good. I got to say, for like only doing a year and a half. I mean, she definitely had like, Her fans were there, like of other, so like they were there to laugh, you know, which is cool.
But, which was nice because they didn't do that thing where they don't laugh at anyone but her. Oh, they were actually enjoying the show. So I got to give her a lot of props for that, for bringing friends, and they were people that are actually there to have fun and see a good show. And it was a lot of fun. They made it a lot of fun.
1,000%. So McCorkle is back. Don Fry is back. All right. Now we could officially get going. So I talked about this last night, but I thought we'd start the show with a story. Did I ever tell you about, you got, well, I was almost molested. Did I ever tell you that story? I was almost molested. Sean McCorkle.
I believe there's a classic rule that says almost doesn't count, but please tell us about your near tragedy that you almost
had. So I was on the wrestling team in Maine at Hyde, where I went to boarding school at Hyde, and they let this guy wrestle with us who was like 50. Like the guy.
And this is where you won the 8th grade New England state championship, right?
So 4-time New England champion, never been done. Before I did it, well, one other kid did it, right? So they let this guy wrestle with us, Sean, who didn't even, he wasn't a parent, he wasn't a teacher.
Most everybody's done with school in 3 years, right?
Yeah, thank you. They just let some fucking guy. So some guy's wrestling with us, and he wasn't even that good. He wasn't even like this great wrestler. He was like an average high school wrestler who was like in his 60s. Like he was like an older guy. So that was a little strange, but okay. So I go to take a shower afterwards, and you know how you have a group shower back in the day in the high school, it was like a locker. So I got like, I'm 13 years old, 14. I got soap on my back. So this guy goes, "Hey, let me get that soap off your back." And he walks towards me and starts rubbing my back. And I'm just like in shock. Like I'm frozen. And then my friend Matt Snyder walks in the shower. He goes, "Greeny." That was my name, Greeny, because my last name is Greenberg. Everyone called me Greeny. He goes, "Greeny, come here, come here, come here." So I like walk over, and then the guy like runs away. Like he runs out of the shower. So, and then it turned out he gave another guy a back rub, like a kid on the wrestling team. He went to his room one night and was like,
"Hey,
like,
no hands.
Seems like a great teammate to me."
So I wrote a joke. I'm like, "What a tease," you know. But at the same time, like that fucking just were the 80s different, like, or the 90s? But I feel like the 90s were different. They would just allow.
Well, we all know teachers are underpaid. And so sometimes you got to make it up somewhere or another. And if a guy's like, "Listen, let me just come in. I'll just wrestle with the guys. I'll give you $50 to let me wrestle with these teen boys." He's like, "Listen, I need the $50. It's $50, you know."
He was a doctor, too. He was a doctor. His kid went there like 40 years ago, but his kid didn't even like, didn't talk to him. But he was like, he was a doctor.
I wonder why.
They called him doctor.
Can you guys hear me or not? Is this microphone working?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, is it better or worse than normal or the same?
It's better. It's actually better.
I think it's worse.
Great.
I'm gonna say worse, but only because we can hear you better.
Okay. Yeah. It's all your point of view, I guess.
Yeah. No, it's a little more echoey. To me, it seems more echoey. That's just my opinion, but that's what I hear.
So, Greg, how was your week?
Hey, you know, it's a week. What? You know, I don't even remember what happened last week. Oh, you know what? Oh, dude. Okay, so. I taught a workshop, taught the crowd work workshop on Saturday. That went great. But, you know, it's a lot. It takes a lot out of me because it's like 3.5 hours long. And it's, you know, me working and thinking for these people the whole time, which was great. Everyone loved it. It went fantastic. But we had already bought tickets to go see this kind of like 90s versus, it's called Warped to Palooza, and it's these tribute, these cover bands. And one does like 2000s emo music and one does like 90s grunge music. And it's a ton of fun, but the bands didn't start till 10:30. And I'm a very old man who just taught a 4-hour workshop. I was exhausted. we made it through the first band at like 11:30. Then we looked at one of the people we were with, and she was like, "I thought I'd be home by now." And we're like, "I didn't even get to see the second band. I had to leave. I was too fucking tired." I was like, my wife was hating the emo band. She was like, "I don't know any of these." So we were just like, I was like, "If you want to go, we can just go." So we ended up going. So the thing was kind of a bust. We'd been to it before and it was awesome, but this time they kind of changed it up on us. And it was one of those things where I kind of felt like I just threw my money away on that one. So I got to remember to pace myself.
Of course.
For these kind of things. But that was about it for me. That was my Saturday night. But if you get a chance to go see like 90s rock show or emo after dark, they're super fun bands. They're generally super fun.
Sean, what's up with you?
I don't really remember. So normally that in the old days, that would have been a great weekend, I guess, if you don't remember it. But now anymore, mine is mostly, I spend a lot of time on hold is what I found out. I started going off on a lady today because she insisted I have to have my MRI order in front of me to schedule an appointment. And I kept insisting I didn't, that I could just bring it with me. And she kept arguing with me about it. So, yeah, I spend most of my day on hold arguing with people on set up doctor's appointments. So that's how you know your life has gone to hell. So,
hey, Don?
Don? Well, I fell down, hit my head. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Where? Where'd you fall down?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear
yes.
you.
Yes.
Oh, I was over at Lisa's. I was at Lisa's house at nighttime. We were feeding. She's got like an animal rescue. So, we were feeding all the critters, and I stepped on a pallet, you know, wooden pallet, which was covered with alfalfa and Bermuda grass, and my feet start going underneath me, and I look like, you know, Curly from the Three Stooges. And then all of a sudden, I got my feet underneath me and pissed me forward.
Oh, God.
Forward, and boom. I hit a rubber trash can lid, but unluckily there was a chunk of cement underneath of it, you know? So I cracked the cement.
Oh, fuck.
So exactly. That'll show that cement.
Yes. Yeah. I'll teach it.
And then I saw you hanging out with the Honky Tonk Man.
Yeah. Oh man, that was a great, Yeah, we had a great time. Dan, Sarah, and I interviewed the Honky Tonk Man.
What was he like?
Elvis.
Pretty cool. Yeah. What the fuck is wrong with you? Don't you know anything about him?
Do you think maybe you didn't get knocked out? He hit you with a guitar when you weren't looking, and that's why you fell down? Because I know that was his move, the Honky Tonk Man.
That's what, yeah, Don wakes up with the splinters of guitar laying around him. He's like, yeah, you slipped on alfalfa. I don't know what happened. Weird.
Fuck, man. By the way, so a couple weeks ago, I wanted to tell you the story about Guantanamo Bay because I never got a chance to tell you the story yet. So I got booked.
Is this going to be a long story?
No. I got booked to do comedy for the military, right? So it was me, a couple other comics, like Nima Williams, who's like this white comic who's been to jail and like super from San Francisco, and a couple other really, Frank Lucero. So we get there, and the Victoria's Secret models are there, like Adriana Lima, Marissa.
Oh, wow. Miller,
but they're on a different tour, Salida Eubanks, right? They're not on our tour. We're on the comedy tour. So we're on this like ferry going.
Well, you know, nothing cheers up the prisoners at Guantanamo Bay.
lemon and lingerie.
Exactly. That's the one thing.
Lemon and lingerie and comedians, they don't understand their language.
They really know how to entertain.
We weren't doing it for the prisoners. It was for the fucking military guys. It wasn't for
I thought it was a new form of torture.
That's when they call Brendan Schaub.
Two hours, Madam Hunter, yeah.
So what happened was, so we're on this like ferry going to Cuba, and we didn't know who the girls were because it was before their big catalog came out. So I'm hitting on all of them because I'm like, fuck it. If I get turned down by a Victoria's Secret model, you know? And I could tell, like, I was the only one talking to them, right? And
yeah.
I was actually doing pretty well. Like, I was talking about comedy, this and that, yada, yada, yada. So then fast forward to like they were going to come to the show. And that's where I was going to be like, make my move. Like, they're coming to the show. We're going to kill.
Right. Exactly. They see the big audition. They see the best word. Adam the Magic Man.
I got the whole plan, right? I got it all planned out. How? So what happened was everyone's online. All the soldiers are online to take a picture with Marissa Miller. So I'm like, hey, Marissa, can I take a picture? Can you take a picture? She goes, sure, sweetie, right? So I give her my camera and have her take a picture of me and Frank as a joke. And everyone's laughing like it was the old like, ah, ha, ha. And I took a real picture. And what's your name? Adriana Lima was like, I want to come to your show. She was so sweet, like beyond nice. So fucking Nima, right? He does the same thing to the girl, the black girl, Sydney Eubanks, who at the time was like married to Nick Cannon for a week or something. So he's like, hey, can I take a picture with you? And she goes, okay. And he goes, later, I'm going to go fuck it. I'm going to go fuck the picture, right? So she gets all angry. She's like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to? And he's like, bitch, don't talk. So they started getting into they got into a fucking fight. Like, he's like, so now we can't talk to the girls anymore. Like, we got banned because he stole my move and then ruined it. Like, he tried to one-up me. So now we're...
Like he stole my move.
I can imagine that if it's a photo... I can imagine Victoria's Secret model would be horrified at being turned into a sex object. Like that would be a hard transition for her to have somebody,
Yes.
So anyway, so the last day our flight was late, right? So like, oh, we're gonna give you a tour of the actual prison, right? We're gonna show you where the prisoners are.
Tour.
So it was right after the Abu Ghraib thing going out. You know how they were taking pictures of all doing like naked stuff and like, you know, they were really trying to show them that's not what they do, right? So they show us like this is where these guys play soccer and this is where they eat and they get to watch the
devil. That's where we strip them down and pile them up like firewood.
There you go. There it is.
they get to watch the deadliest catch. They got this big flat screen, right? And I'm like, wow, this looks great, right?
This so is where they get to be the deadliest catch over here.
So they get three meals a day and they get health care, the whole thing, right? So we go in there. They all have lawyers. There's all these lawyers, right? So I look into the jail cell. There's a guy with like a beard, and he starts banging on the thing, going, "Help!" Help. So they're giving us this tour about how great they have it, and these guys are like screaming, "Help! Let me out!" I'm like, that guy doesn't look very. They're like, "Shut up!" They told me, "Shut up!" I'm like, "No, but there's a guy screaming."
Move along.
Yeah, that was my Guantanamo Bay story.
They told them they get three meals a day. Only two of them are forced, so that part's good. They're they're doing all right.
Right. So.
That was a great joke. I can't believe you bought
it. Did you guys watch the fight? All right. First of all, did you guys see Mike Perry versus Luke Rockhold, the weigh-ins yesterday? Not the weigh-ins. The face-off?
No.
Okay. Well, wait till you see what happened. So, of course, Mike Perry. Okay. I want to show you guys what happened. So, Mike Perry and Luke Rockhold faced off. They're going to do bare knuckle boxing.
Being a consummate professional, he is.
It's actually going to be a great card. So Mike Perry picked his nose and wiped it on Luke Rockhold. I'll show you. Hold on. Can you guys see?
Yeah.
And for some reason, Chael Sonnen is the guy commenting.
Well, it's off center now. Now it's off center. We don't see it now.
Now can you see it?
Yeah.
There we go. All right.
No. There it is.
Chael's in the middle. And then there's Mike Perry.
That's the first time.
There you go. Yeah, bring Chael Sonnen, the voice of reason between these two. That's
he picks his nose. And wipes like,
off. Oh, that's very Mike Perry.
He never disappoints, does he?
Don, what would you do?
Chael Sonnen pulled it off and ate it.
So, Don, what? What would you do if a guy picked his nose and wiped it on you at a weigh-in or at a face down?
I'd feed it to him.
So, yeah, but you're right, though, Sean. Luke looks a lot bigger than him, like a lot bigger than him.
Yeah, he is. He's considerably. Luke is really is. Some guys don't understand, man. When I saw Chris Weidman in person, he must have weighed 240 pounds. I was blown away when I saw Chris Weidman. I was like, how do you make 185 pounds, man? Like, I just don't see it. The best is when I was talking to Anthony Johnson in person, and I asked him if he ever actually made 170, and he thought I was making fun of him. He's yeah. I started laughing. I said, no, I'm serious. Did you ever actually make it? And he was like, I guess he made it a couple of times. I didn't know, but I knew he had tried, but he thought it was me because people assume I'm trying to be jokey or make fun of him. And I kept saying, dude, I'm not trying to piss you off. I'm being, by this time, he's like 270. When I'm talking to him, I said, did you ever actually make it, though? But no matter how I said it, it came off like I was trying to make fun of him because people were laughing. I'm like, I actually want to know. Like, I really want to know, did you ever make it?
Like, I really want to know. No, this is a serious question. Shut up, you guys. I'm serious.
Yeah. Really? They were all going like, ah, like, like I was making fun of him. He's like, yeah, whatever. And I'm like, no, I really was asking. Like, I don't know, man.
In other words, in other news, Greg, I know you were very Fight Circus. I don't know if you guys watch it. Bob Sapp and Rampage, they won their fight. I'll show you guys.
Well, that did actually happen.
Yeah, look, see?
He's an interesting fighter. See, he's going crossface. He's attacking both.
Oh, no. Nice uppercut.
He's right. Sewn together shirts.
He's down. He falls again.
Now, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like how the other guy keeps shoving his partner in front, you know?
I know. It seems like the biggest opponent in the match is gravity. They're just not even, like, it's a balance.
Keeps side.
But
can't fucking maintain the balance.
Sidestepping, pushing his partner in the front.
Yeah, like, here, you take the, your defense, I'm offense.
Well, at one point, though, Rampage then went after the referee and started punching the ref.
Yeah.
And then the ref then shot a double leg on him. Or a single leg.
What?
Yeah, which we have the video. Hold on, if I can find the video. Which I am all for this, guys. I think this is actually like the I think there should be more of this. Hold on, let me see. We got this.
Sure.
So so here we go.
Repunching? Right. Referee punching or
Hold on, I'll show you. So here's what happened. All right, here we go. If I blow it up, you can't see it. Can you guys see it?
I see it now, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on.
It'd be bad.
Tommy Hayden needs to get in there and get some control of it.
So here, all right. So look.
Drives him into the corner. Goes for a single leg.
I've never seen anything like this, ladies and gentlemen.
It's pandemonium in the Fight Circus ring.
Well, it is called Fight Circus.
Who would ever think of a pandemonium?
We're the midgets. We're missing midgets. That's the only thing. We had some midgets.
We're missing Master Blaster going, who rules Thunderdome?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I happen to like this. I think this is good. I think this is good for Bob Sapp. I mean, he can't throw a fight if Rampage is holding him up. Bob Sapp is actually an idiot. So now the Roy Jones fight. I don't know if you guys watched this.
Won the fight. Who won that fight?
The Roy Jones?
No, the Bob Sapp tag team.
Bob Sapp and Rampage won. They knocked him down. But I don't even know who they fought. They fought just like two guys. But the Roy,
I don't think those guys were deserving of that that shot. They should have had to work their way up a little bit longer in the two-man-one shirt.
They weren't ranked. They weren't ranked opponents. It was an easy fight for Bob.
Exactly. Rampage. They should have taken on the candy corn salesman and and the hot dog guy first.
They fed him a tomato can and
yeah.
Don, were you ever fed a tomato can in your entire career?
Was I what?
Ever fed a tomato can in your whole career?
What?
Were you ever fed a tomato can?
Yeah, I did. A couple of when Dan was my agent, you know, before the UFC, and he got me, you know, got me some fights across the country, you know.
So was you that fun away? Just beating up on some dude?
How's that? Yeah, how's that treadmill work going there?
It's all right. My wife uses it. She has this like treadmill that she uses while she's working, and I'm like, you know what? It's like a mini treadmill. You could use it while you're in like a meeting.
Does it generate the power? The power for your TV set.
You just walk. It's like a Flintstone. You just walk. Now I gotta say, the Roy Jones fight, Pettis, man, Roy Jones looked like he was 54. He looked 80. I mean, the guy, he was throwing like four punches around, but he was landing. But
you mean to tell me that professional boxers don't age well? Because there's a lot of evidence to the contrary. Muhammad Ali, Mike Tyson. I mean, a lot of guys.
Leon Spinks.
Yeah.
I mean, Pettis won this fight, but it was just, the whole thing was just sad. Did you watch this, Sean?
I did not. I actually thought that was this coming weekend. So sadly, I just now learned that it happened. So I'm obviously going to have to watch back and see what happened. But at least I got
the result.
Yeah.
At least now I know who won.
Hey, Sean, you might win. You might win the bet this time, man. Place the bet.
Mike Chevy Chase, Dirty Work. You remember when he was telling Norm MacDonald he lost on me? He goes, he blamed Mr. T for his gambling losses. He's like, wait, you bet against Rocky at Rocky 3? You know, Chevy Chase is like, hindsight's 20/20, my friend.
But,
I'd be betting on Ivan Drago in Rocky 4. So.
Yeah, no, it was that was crazy. The whole card was like weird. It was actually Anthony Pettis fought Aldo. That was a good fight. Not Anthony Pettis. I mean, Aldo fought Jeremy Stephens. It was a draw. I thought Aldo won, but that was actually a pretty good fight. And then the Jacare did a lot better against Vitor Belfort. Belfort was landing bombs against him. I mean, just, and Jacare somehow made it to the decision, but it was, that was crazy. So it was, I don't know. Was it worth $50 on Fight Pass? No.
Was this in bare knuckle? Where was this?
No. This was Jorge Masvidal's Game Bread Boxing League, which is now.
Masvidal has like four or five.
Which is now folded, now out of business.
Yeah.
So, and then the PFL over the weekend, Bubba Jenkins won, which is
I awesome. Saw that. That was good. He had a good boy. He dominated that guy too. Well, it's nice to see. I finally really think he's rounding into form. I really do. The stand-up game is starting to come together for him enough to really complement the ground game.
Did you see him twerking though on him?
Oh yeah, straight up. He fucked him. He dry humped him real good.
Did you watch the twerking?
No, I didn't see that. But,
So for some reason, Bubba thought it was a good idea to start humping them. Let's see if I can find it.
Listen, you reposted it, so it wasn't a bad idea.
No, it got a lot of hits. And
was Bruce Buffer in his corner? Because that may have been some in-fight instruction yelled out from Buffer.
Let me see what we got here. Here we go. So,
yeah, but he quickly got into the cage.
That's all that was happening. Got him, and then he just starts humping him.
It's got to be humiliating.
It's got to, right? I mean,
yeah, and that guy got dominated. Holy crap!
Chris won the first time, Chris won the first time. Like this was a rematch. And
that's what I'm saying. Like I really feel like for the first time, I really feel like Bubba's form. He's rounding out into a true MMA fighter, which before it was like he either had his ground game or he had nothing. Now I feel like the hands have caught up and he's starting to really learn how to put it all together. I don't know if he's fully there yet. You know, like I still don't think he's ready for to come back to the UFC, but I definitely think, or I guess he was in Bellator before, wasn't he? Yeah, but Bellator. Either way, I think he's starting to really, I think he's definitely got a real shot at the $1 million this season. I mean, he made the final last year, so I could see him like winning it this year. And I mean, he keeps developing his stand-up game, and I could see him really turning the corner and turning into something. He's starting
here's
to really
the,
come
here's
together.
The problem, though. Here's the problem, Greg, is that Bubba, sometimes he learns the hard way every time. He underestimates these guys. He thinks he's going to go out there and kill them, and then he loses, and then he wins the rematch. Or like he thinks I could become a striker, and then he realizes, oh, I could have just wrestled. I don't know how to get into his head sometimes of like, bro, don't overlook this guy, or don't go out, like, use what you're good at. That's been his MO.
I can't believe he doesn't listen to you. Look what your coaching did for Dan Hardy's career.
Not me, but like he got kicked off the Penn State wrestling team when he was ranked number 2 in the country, and then he went out and beat the guy that replaced him. But it's like he's just that guy. Like I don't know. By the way, so on a different topic, Gina Carano, did you guys see what like she posted?
No.
So, I don't follow Gina, sorry.
So you know these guys that do these they like dress up and they do like cosplay, they go to these like Renaissance fairs. So a guy, I guess he found a dead body. But and I couldn't wait to get
Was this real, this news thing?
Yes. The necromancer spell, right here, which didn't this guy. Work, which we were in the middle of our tournament when my friend John said he found a body in the bushes over there. I ran over there because I'm a healing monk to try and help, but obviously my magic wasn't strong enough because the dude's body was missing a head. So my friend decided to try to use a necromancer spell, which didn't work, which I knew it wouldn't. And apparently we contaminated the crime scene because that spell uses a lot of glitter.
I thought for sure that was a joke. I was like, this cannot be real. I mean,
I think when they say that on that article, when they say found, there should be like quotes around it. Like these guys found a dead body.
Yeah. We found the dead body where we left it.
Right, where we just where we expected it to be,
and it just happened to be all our. Apparently, we contaminated the crime scene with our DNA. Like, I mean, I think all the suspects just admitted it right there on camera. I think you're onto something there, McCorkle.
Yeah. I just like watching.
What did he do? What did he do? What did he do to the dead body?
He put glitter on it.
DNA.
He put glitter on the dead body.
He tried to necromance it. Like, guys, this is our chance to prove it. My magic wasn't strong. I love that his magic wasn't strong enough. So his buddy tries a necromancer thing, which he knew wasn't going to work. Wait, how did you know his wouldn't work? Because yours didn't work? Is that what it was? Oh, my God.
It worked because he was dead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it had nothing to do with reality, and now you're living in fantasy land. But I saw that, and I'm like,
I told my wife
he was decapitated too, right?
Yeah, my wife goes, was that CB Gold?
CB Gold's gold. Don't even bring that silver shit in here.
What's up, people? Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right. And there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts getting in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable. And bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling help line ma.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSense GAMMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go.
I got to talk to you about HelloFresh. First of all, what is HelloFresh? With HelloFresh, you get fresh farmed, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. You got to skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. Number one, all right? You can make mealtime easy with delicious recipes made with fresh, wholesome ingredients delivered to your door. No lines, no hassle, no gas, all that other stuff that you have to get there. No, just great tasting meals you can whip up and enjoy in the comfort of home. Sounds good to me. HelloFresh has 40 weekly recipes to choose from for all meal occasions, lifestyles, and preferences, okay? Take your pick from meals like soy glazed salmon with rice or mushroom and chive risotto. That sounds delicious. I'm in. Now, me and my wife, we've been doing home-cooked HelloFresh, and it has been delicious, delicious, okay? It saves us time. It saves us money. We're in. So just go to HelloFresh.com/Roasted60. Use the code Roasted60 for 60% off plus free shipping, okay? HelloFresh.com/Roasted60, all right? HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Go check it out.
I own four different stores. I own a pawn shop. I own a gym. I own a gym and a tattoo parlor.
I literally thought that was CB's voice, and you guys were playing it for a second. I swear to God, Greg just did that. I thought it was just a split up. Like, did you guys have that recorded? What just happened?
Greg, one of my favorite ever was when you said, "I go, he owns a tattoo." You're like, "Well, it's a squatter's law. If I show up and don't leave, eventually I own it."
That's where it's squatter's law. That's
how I laughed for like 2 years straight. I would just randomly laugh.
Hey, CB Gold, and we're listening. If you're listening, we love you, buddy.
All right. UFC, I guess Endeavor bought the WWE and they now own the UFC. So I guess they're merging to form this huge company, combined promotions, with one publicly traded company.
And the new company is called, it's not fake, okay?
trust us.
Yeah.
Or
it's all scripted.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I mean, someone made a good point of like, you thought it was going to be like not a meritocracy before. I can't think that this helps some of these guys that have like no following, know this, they're 14-0 from Dagestan, but they're not going to generate any type or of like a guy like Colby Covington before he crossed over to become this. Yeah, I can't help but think that this only helps guys like McGregor and the Chandlers of the world and giving these guys titles, you know. I don't know about this one. Sean, your thoughts?
I want to know what Ari Emanuel's credit score is. Because if that dude can get loaned $27 billion on, like, a phone call. Like, I don't know what's going on. Like, he just keeps acquiring these. They're like, well, he acquired the company. He put down $300 million of his own money. And another bank investor put down $37 billion. And I'm just like, dude, like, how are you getting anybody to loan you that kind of money just to keep acquiring these companies? I don't get it. I don't know. Although I guess when you own the UFC and your total payout to fighters is 3% of your gross, I guess it's pretty easy to get a loan. Like, we're going to be profitable because our labor costs are zero. So like that's, I don't know.
I just can't wait till Brandon Moreno brings a ladder into the octagon.
Like, I used to love pro wrestling. Like, when I was a kid, when I understood it, when it was like good guy versus bad guy, and it was like pretty hard to not figure out who the good guy and the bad guys were. Now I have no idea who's a good guy. Like, it seems like everybody's a good guy. Don, do you still watch pro wrestling?
No, I don't.
Like when you did it, that's when I liked wrestling back in the day. But now I don't get it. And then everyone now is a critic. Everyone's like, everyone's Simon Cowell watching wrestling and saying what the match should be or what should have happened or this. Or that. I'm just like, can't we just like suspend disbelief or enjoy something without having to overanalyze? Like, why is everyone now a fucking critic of this?
I want someone to explain to me. They said Roman Reigns was a plus 2,400 or minus 2,400 to win his match at WrestleMania. How in the hell can they be taking bets on pro wrestling matches that are predetermined? I don't understand. Like, talk about a conflict of interest. If you're writing the script, how can you make a bet on the – like, I bet he wins at 342 in the second round. You know what I mean? Like, and then just write it into the script. Like, it's the craziest – it doesn't make sense.
Also, I just got a
we'll have to ask Pete Rose.
Exactly.
I just got a news alert. Apparently, the WBC is merging with the Young and the Restless. So, a lot of big news here in
that's hilarious. The
legitimate fighting versus scripted. Jesus. Yeah.
I know. It's just, I don't know. I don't know about
it. Doesn't make any sense. It makes zero sense.
I'll tell you who looked good. So Bryce Meredith, who we had on the podcast a couple weeks ago, he was a 3-time national finalist, 4 times. He looked great in Bellator. Joey Davis, the guy that I kept saying how great he was because he was a 4-time NCAA champion, never lost, looked awful. I had heard he was a minus 1,600 favorite. And he lost in Bellator. And people told me, dude, this guy's got a lot of outside issues. And I should have – that's one I probably should have bet on. But, yeah, so I don't know. That was crazy. Tim Sylvia is doing – there's a rival slap competition. It's not power slap. It's something else.
Slap fight.
Slap fight. And Tim Sylvia is doing it. Just
wait till they merge with power slaps. Then they're going to really, you're going to have a real for the UFC and the,
power slap is going to merge with slap fight to create slap slap. It's going to be a wild,
monopoly on the sports world, huh?
So dumb.
This week in the PFL, by the way, you know, PFL, their pacing is awful. It's like, I don't know.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about that? Thank you for bringing this up. I'm trying to watch this show. They have no problems with dead air. Like, they literally just put the camera on the sign above the ring. Nobody spoke for, like, 3 minutes of silence while they were they didn't go to replays. The commentators didn't say shit. It was just a picture. You were just looking up at the scoreboard, like, and I was like, did somebody have a stroke in the board? Who's running the board? Like, what the fuck is happening here? Yeah. They have the worst production of any fight league, and this includes the Pillow Fight League. This includes Slap Fight. This includes Fight Circus. They're the what is going on? Who is in charge? Who's like, okay, guys, nobody say shit,
dude. And then they
5 minutes.
All
just
right,
make people wonder if we're even still here. Like, oh my God, what the fuck was happening,
dude? Then they go, all right, time for some action, and they go to here's Wiz Khalifa. And Wiz Khalifa talks for 10 minutes about his music. I guess he's like an investor in it.
Yeah, he is.
And then Wiz is like, yeah, I got to go for my man. They're like, what did you tell Bubba Jenkins in the locker room? Like, I don't give a fuck, Wiz Khalifa. He goes, I told him to do his thing. Like, thanks. Thanks, Wiz. But yeah, no, PFL. So this week they're having another PFL event. The girl that beat Kayla Harrison, which was crazy, Larissa Pacheco, is fighting this girl, Julia Budd, who used to be the Bellator champion. She's a monster. This is actually a good fight.
That Pacheco girl, she's something to be afraid of, man. She's a real monster. She's something else. She was so unafraid of Kayla Harrison, I couldn't believe it. Like, she was looking forward to proving everybody wrong, and then she went out there and did it. I got a lot of respect for that girl. And I got to say one other thing about
her. How'd she win?
She won by points.
Yeah, but still, I mean, in a dominating fashion, it was a hell of a fight. I don't think Kayla Harrison in a million years thought that could happen to her. Well, heck of a fight. But speaking of the PFL, just really quickly on this last weekend. So I know this one girl. Okay. She's a British girl who loves to get naked. And she was one of the ring girls at PFL. Okay. So I'm looking at her posts and she's like, had an amazing time being a ring girl at PFL. And of course I met Bubba Jenkins. And I'm like, of course you did. Of course you did. Oh, Bubba, I hope you spoke in tongues during that load. I hope you did.
So. Yes.
Badman tings. He was doing Badman tings all over her face.
I think Bubba has a girlfriend, so I don't think he did any of those things.
Too late. Yeah. It's all about timing you. Too late.
Let me know if you want to take that out, Greg.
No, we're leaving that in.
All right. Okay. So also, Aspen Ladd is now with the PFL. She's fighting Alena Kazakh. And then Biagio Ali Walsh, who's Muhammad Ali's grandson. He is in the PFL. He was an undefeated boxer. Sean, anything? Why do you shake your head?
Just because, I mean, I don't know. I would think if you were Muhammad Ali's grandson, at some point you could monetize that, I would think, into some kind of career where you don't have to get punched in the face, considering the damage you saw your grandfather take. You know what I mean? Like, it just, I don't know. I see some of these guys, and not to name any names, but I see some of these guys who encourage their kids to go into fighting who are fighters. And I'm like, why would you ever want your child to do that if you know what fighting's like? You know what I mean? Like, if you know what and how that ends, how many, there's not a lot of real happy endings in that industry. You know what I mean? Like, where a guy's like, hey man, I'm glad I fought. And ended up at the very end in slap fighting, trying to make $2,500 to make a mortgage payment. You know what I mean? Like, it's like very few that retire have a happy ending.
Like, his own daughter went into it. Layla Ali was a fighter. And I mean, doesn't he have a another grandchild that's fighting as well? Like, I think it's just kind of like they feel like it's legacy almost.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing to use your name if you're going to fight not real fights, like, you know, like maybe Jake Paul's son. Fight real fights like his dad when he gets older. But I don't know. I just see when you look at Muhammad Ali and the obvious damage, the brain damage he took from fighting, why would you want to do that? I don't know, man.
Well, the fight game was different then, too. I mean, they wouldn't stop fights. They'd let people fight to the death, basically. You know, the whole the way they would count the eight count, and like guys would be just out of their minds, useless, and they'd be like, you're good, and keep going. So, I mean, there could be an aspect of fighting was different then than it is now. They protect the fighters, I think, a little bit better than they used to. So there might be some of that.
I was glad to see the UFC is now, I think, valued without merger. They said it's something like $14 billion, you know what I mean, or something crazy. And fighters are making almost exactly the same. So not only is it's increased in value by 300%, but the starting pay for fighters is still what it was when I started. So,
right. Same with stand-up. Same with stand-up. You know, we're still getting paid the same crappy per spot thing that we've been getting for 25 years. So, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. Now, this weekend, UFC, which is like, I feel like they're not promoting it, but it's from Miami, 287. I'm excited. Alex Pereira against Israel Adesanya. Right now, Israel is 0-3 against Alex. He lost to him twice in kickboxing, although the first one, I thought he won. I didn't think he won when everyone's like, no, he really won. Then I went back and watched him. I'm like, oh, he really did win. And the last fight, he was winning four rounds. I mean, he was winning until he got caught. I'm thinking this is the time Adesanya is going to take it. He's going to win. I know everyone's going to tell me Pereira's going to win, but I'm thinking Israel's going to win this fight. Sean, what do you think?
I mean, I would say it's hard to beat anybody four times in a row, like at anything, unless you're that much better than them. So, I mean, odds are I would think that he would win. But then again, man, that's sometimes a guy just has your number too. So, I'm still going to go with Alex, man. I think he's just so big for that weight class, and he's fearless, man. That dude's not afraid. A lot of guys that fight Stylebender, it's weird. They seem terrified of him, and he's not a crazy puncher. I mean, he's very accurate, but he isn't like Ngannou, where he can separate your head off your shoulders, you know? But guys seem to be afraid to get anywhere near him, but I don't think Alex is afraid to get near anybody in exchange with him, man. And when you have that and you got a good chin, it's – and you're that much bigger than everybody. It's a tough competition to beat, man.
Don, what do you think?
I don't know. I cut out. I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking about the UFC fight this week, 287. Alex Pereira against Israel Adesanya, the rematch.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I think Israel, Israel's going to get beat. You know, I think the other guy's got his number.
Greg?
I got to tell you, until the Usman fight, I would have said Israel Adesanya all day. But then when we saw what happened with Leon Edwards and Usman, and I'm like, now I believe it's well within the realm of possibility that Fahea gets him again. But honestly, though, I don't think Usman should. I thought he fought completely wrong. And if he just fought the way he should have fought, he should have won that fucking fight. And instead, you know, he went, chased him around and walked right into all his fucking punches and did everything wrong. I don't think Adesanya makes those mistakes. I think he's a much smarter fighter. I think he goes out there and he handles business. And I think he takes him out this time. I don't think he leaves up to scorecards. I don't think he gets knocked out. I think Adesanya takes him out probably round four.
It was pretty funny.
So I'd like to see that.
So at the MMA Awards.
I hope you're right.
Me too. At the MMA Awards, by the way. So I sat next to Israel, but just coincidentally. I go to my dad. He's sitting right next to him. I'm like, Dad, you know who this is? This is the best fighter in the world. And he's like, and then Israel goes, I got a lot of work to do. He was super humble. And then my daughter spilled the drink all over him. Like she kicked all over his like tux. And I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry. Jesus. And he goes, kids, he was so fucking nice. But when he arrived, they had like six guys in suits, like walk him down through the hotel. Like, you know, like he's like secret service. And there was literally nobody there.
But made him feel good.
Yeah, made up
for the kids dumping drink all over him.
It was like two old ladies. It was literally like two old ladies, right? And then like our waitress was like smoking hot, right? Like, I mean, she was, you know, Vegas waitress. You know how they don't fuck around there at like the Palms. And he asked the waitress, "Hey, can you get me some chapstick?" And she went out and got him chapstick. Which was, I've never seen that before. That was a pretty good move. Have you ever seen anybody get ordered chapstick before?
No, listen, that's take the stuff off your lip, baby. That's, I just
there
went,
you
went,
go.
It off your lip. That's what I've asked it for.
All right. So also Gilbert Burns versus Masvidal. This one, man. So Masvidal made a video last week about Donald Trump, how he shouldn't be, you know, arrested. And how this is becoming a third world country and America's like it was like a really nice video he made. Like it was from the heart. But I got to say, he didn't look like he was in great shape in the video. He didn't look like he was working out. He looked kind of dumpy. Like, I don't know. But after seeing that, I'm like, Gilbert Burns looks like a fucking monster right now. Who do we like? And I'm thinking Gilbert Burns might even finish him first two rounds. Greg, who are you liking this?
I 100% agree with that. I have seen nothing that makes me believe Masvidal is going to be much of a challenge for Burns in this fight. Burns has definitely stayed in rhythm. He's he's still a contender. He's still the real deal. Whereas, you know, Masvidal has been knocked out and knocked out of the sport for a couple of years. And now he's coming back up against Gilbert Burns. I mean, they're throwing him to the fire, man. And I know he's got interest now with his, you know, boxing league and that on Fight Pass and whatever else. So maybe that's why they're giving him this shot. But I think he is a lamb to slaughter on this one, baby. I mean, yeah, I would bet on an early round knockout. Second round, I think, is on the money.
Sean?
You know what's great is I had cut off for a minute, so I didn't hear what you guys were talking about. I came back on, and you said he was talking about America becoming a third world country and speaking out against communism. And I thought you were talking about Trump, and then you're saying he doesn't look like he's in good shape. He looks kind of dumpy. I was like, when did Trump ever look in phenomenal shape? Like, I was his first term. Was he ripped, and I don't remember it? Like, I don't know.
Look, I'll show you guys the video. Maybe I'm reading too into this.
This is really recent.
This is like 2 days ago, or last week.
Doing the President Trump has never been done before to a president. for the BS charges that the DA in New York is bringing up is complete and utter nonsense. Just not too long ago, Bill Clinton got a BJ in the Oval Office and absolutely nothing happened. And it just went under the carpet. Now they're trying to indict this man for something that he did before he was president that has nothing to do with anything. Hush money or whatever they want to call it. If we let them do this to Trump, they're going to come for you, me, and anybody that opposes him. This has been done before in history. And every time it's happened, it only gets worse. We can't let the left take over and ruin American values. This is nonsense. We need to all stand together instead of fighting against each other, letting them divide and conquer us. God bless America. God bless everybody watching. Let's go, President Trump.
So.
Yeah, baby. I agree.
I mean, message aside, whether or not we agree with it or not agree with it, he doesn't look like he's in great shape. I mean, am I looking too into it? Sean?
No, it's odd, man. That really is odd. He looks like a guy that used to take steroids that doesn't anymore, but he never looked like he was on steroids back when he fought. So, like, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. He is 38, man. Sometimes you get old overnight, but it's I know he's got three different fight leagues now. I think three different fight promotions. He's got the bare knuckle boxing. He's got the regular boxing. And I think he's got MMA also, like Game Bred MMA.
Yeah.
But he's really busy doing other stuff. But I think they're probably counting on, I'm guessing, Colby's going to beat, he's probably going to lose to Burns. Colby's going to beat Leon. And I think they're going to do Leon and Masvidal maybe as one of his last fights. Because that's still a fight with name value and something people want to see. I'm shocked they haven't done. Not shocked because they never do fights people want to see. But they should.
So what would they do with Burns then? Where does Burns fit into the equation then?
I guess if he wins, maybe he's next in line for a title shot or up there after.
Colby wins and McGregor wins, they're making Colby McGregor for like that's. I guarantee they're going to get, especially with WWE. That's the fight they're going to make. That.
Yeah. I would like. I can't believe they never made Masvidal.
McGregor.
McGregor. It seems like with Masvidal losing three in a row, it seems like that would be the fight to make over him and Chandler. But it's. It's easy to be matchmaker and say, "Oh yeah, I would do this. I would do that." When you know you don't know behind the scenes stuff, but sometimes their matchmaking makes no sense at all, man. Like there's. It just doesn't. I don't know. I would if McGregor's get one fight away from retiring all the time. You know what I mean? Like there's no telling. You may only get one or two more out of him. Same with Masvidal. Why not let them fight one more time? You know what I mean? Like why? Even if they could have done Masvidal Nate Diaz two instead of Nate Diaz Tony Ferguson. You know what I mean? Like do that one. Just something. You know what I mean? Like just try to something people want to see. But there's been so many fights that never happened that people want to see. It's like they just keep doing it. They keep just. Give you the fight you don't want to see. So
Don, who do you think wins? Is Burns or Masvidal?
Well, hell, I like to see Masvidal win, but I guess I have to go with Burns since you seem to have an inside track on the shit today. So
I have no inside track. I think Masvidal is a bigger draw. And I think that people want Masvidal to win. The UFC
hell yeah.
But and I think he's entertaining. But man,
maybe we should ask James Krause who he thinks "quote unquote" is going to win, and we can have an answer because I bet James Krause knows who's going to win at this point.
And then also some other big fights on this card. The Rob Font, Adrian Yanez, it's a good fight. Yanez won like six in a row. Font's a tough fighter. That kid, Raul Rosas Jr., who's like 16 years old. He's a kid that literally.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He looks like Bigfoot Silva, but like somebody shrunk him. In like
fire. Didn't he say he was going to buy his mom a minivan or something like that? Was that him?
Something like that. Yeah. He seems like a really nice kid. He's fighting
like mini foot Silva.
Yeah. It's like, I'm so sure. Regular foot Silva. That's right.
Yeah.
So he's on the main card, which has pissed off a lot of the fighters. Kevin Holland is fighting Santiago.
Now we're talking about it. Yeah.
He's fighting Ponzinibbio. That's going to be a fucking fight. Ponzinibbio he's a great fighter. Kevin Holland, I mean, he just talk about like low fight IQ. He literally went into a kickboxing fight against Wonder Boy, who's like the greatest kickboxer in MMA right now, or at least one of them. And he's like, no wrestling. I'm like, not the guy you want to do that to with.
Right.
And then he fought Chimaev, and he grappled with him. I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure he did that on purpose, but like,
I think he specifically does that on purpose. He wants to beat guys at their own game because he believes that he can. The guy's an agitator, and when he loses, he's like, "All right, I didn't fight the other way," you know, like.
That's right. It always is a built-in excuse if you'd fight. Oh, I didn't fight my fight. I wanted to beat him at his own game. Like,
yeah.
I wish anyone I ever fought had wanted to beat me at my own game. I didn't really have much of a game, but
I was going to say, which game was that?
Yeah,
that
if they were better than me, wrestling, they wrestled me. If they were better standing up, they stood up with me. It's like I was like, can someone like let me just start in a Americana or like let me just start on top.
You missed it. Don said eating, by the way.
let's do fight me at my pie eating contest own game. Something.
Speaking of eating, Kelvin Gastelum's on this card. He's fighting Chris Curtis. Man, Chris Curtis has been like beating everybody. Nice guy. Chris Curtis is a guy that like, dude, he posted a picture of his kid, right? And his kid is like super white kid with like red hair, but like, and I thought he was like trolling people. Like, I thought this was like a joke, but I guess he dated a girl when she was pregnant and then with someone else and then ended up raising the kid. And then they broke up and he's still raising the kid. So he's basically just the and people don't believe that like the kid, like my dad's in the UFC. They show a picture and no one believes the kid. And then he actually shows up. Which is pretty damn funny. So one of my
they don't believe he's his father.
one of my favorite people is with us right now, the Outlaw, Dan Hardy. Dude is a monster fighter, one of the best commentators. Now you're an ambassador. What's going on, Dan?
My new job is a director of fighter operations for Europe for the PFL. So my job now is to scour the gyms and the shows of Europe and bring all the best European fighters together so we can fight them off to see who's the best of the best. And then we can send them over to America to make some real money.
That's awesome. Nice. That's, so you have to go to all the like the smaller events and be like, and then you go up to people, hey, you want to be in the PFL?
That's it. Yep. Do you want to be an effing fighter? I'm going to shave my head. I'm going to wear a suit that's too big for me. I'm going to do the whole lot.
That's awesome.
How's it feel getting rejected every time you ask somebody they want to be in the PFL?
So Dan, you're here with Don Fry.
They answer the what?
Sean McCorkle and Greg Wilson, very funny comedian. Now, I always talk about how me and Dan used to be wrestling partners, training partners. Now, Greg here does not believe that. He goes, what? You went to one class and watched them, right? So I was like, that's some bullshit. Me and Dan used to wrestle. Will you tell Dan, Greg, that really happened?
Regularly. Got my ass handed to me every Saturday by Adam Hunter on the wrestling mat. I didn't even know he was a comedian. How ignorant am I? I just kept showing up to legends. I'm getting beaten up by this guy every Saturday. He's wrestling the hell out of me. And then he said, oh, I'm doing a comedy show this week. And that was when it occurred to me. He's a superstar comedian as well. Yeah, he's a very good wrestler.
Don't take it too hard, Dan. People listen to this podcast every week that don't know he's a comedian. So
that's awesome. I love it. So Dan, by the way, congrats on now I knew Dan when he was his first girlfriend or your wife was very angry. Very angry girl. And then you told me your second girlfriend, you got married at a drive-thru, right?
Yeah.
It was for $25 and you didn't have to get out of the car.
True.
Who paid for it?
Nice. I paid for it for years after.
But now you're married who's killing it. She was a girl, by the way, Greg. Yes. Remember her last fight? The girl was like a girl who was like trying to street fight her and was throwing she was throwing gang punches at her. And congratulations, man!
Thanks, man. Yeah, Veronica's been out for a long time. It's been 3 years. 3 years she's been out. You know, concussion issues and all kinds of problems. So good to get back in competition. She was first fighting the night at the O2 Arena. As you said, she got a real tough opponent. She got Juliana Miller, who was a real scrapper. She took head kick like other people that I'd never seen before. It was quite impressive. But yep, first win in the column. Ready to get back to work and get another victory on her record. It's good to have her back in competition. She's too good to be missing it.
Yeah, and she says that having you is like having like a cheat code. So she says that you now. Were you worried though? Because I know there was like we got to talk about. I don't know what happened with the UFC, but were you worried? I know that like Randy Couture isn't allowed to coach his son. Were you worried that they were going to not let you coach your wife?
Yeah, for sure. I absolutely thought they would do everything they could to stop me cornering. But fortunately, they just stopped me doing everything else other than cornering. I even moved into a different hotel just to avoid the drama. But yeah, I didn't go to any of the weigh-ins or anything like that. But I'm not bothered. I wasn't bothered to do those things when I worked for the UFC. I'm there for the fights and the fighters. It was nice to be back cornering. I mean, here's a blast from the past. The last time I was in a corner was for Mac Danzig in Seattle. Wow,
that's awesome.
Like, it was a long time ago. You know what I mean? And that's kind of where I belong. I love being a commentator. I love working as an analyst. But, you know, to be able to download the information I've got in my head into someone that can put it to better use than me. Like, she's so talented and athletic, and she's still got a career ahead of her. If I can give her the information that I should have had when I was younger, then she's going to go a long way. And that's exciting for me, you know.
That is awesome.
It'd be nice if you could teach her some of the wrestling you should have had when Adam was teaching you.
This is the thing. I'm like I went from wrestling Adam once a week to fighting GSP. What chance did I have?
That was crazy. Honestly, he told me he's fighting GSP, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, my eyes lit up. Like,
oh, you're screwed.
I was like, oh. But then you went five rounds with the fucking greatest fighter of all time. I mean, that's...
I'm just stubborn, man.
Who was a harder fight for you, GSP or Anthony Johnson?
You know, there were different kinds of fights. Anthony Johnson was frustrating because I felt like, I mean, I was coming off my first knockout loss. He was the biggest puncher one of the biggest punchers in the sport. I expected him to try and knock me out. And you know, when it became a grappling match, after I'd, you know, just been out grappled by GSP, I was a little disappointed with that. Whereas I expected it from GSP. I wasn't surprised. I kind of wanted Anthony Johnson to try and take my head off, which would have made my life a bit easier. But that was a frustrating one. But GSP, I just never felt like I was in the fight. You know, like I felt like...
Neither did he. Like
he was always three or four steps ahead of me, no matter what I was doing. What was that?
Neither did he.
Yeah, so Don Fry.
Nobody watching the fight either.
So Dan, hey. What happened? So you're watching a fight. Herb Dean is ridiculously late. You went to I remember watching it live. You go to the cage. You start yelling at him. You go back to your seat. You got like a warning from the UFC. Like, hey, you can't do that. Is that what happened?
No, you see that's the misunderstanding. I didn't leave my commentary desk. I was at my commentary desk when Herb came over to me. So like that's the misunderstanding. The whole conversation was about me going over to him, like I was waiting for him at the cage door, something I would do. Like I was standing up to turn around to interview Diego. Who was it? Fajeda.
Yeah,
I was standing up to turn around to interview. Oh no, Trinaldo. Sorry, I was turning around to interview him, and I noticed Herb making his way over to me from the cage door, like he was on a mission. Like Herb doesn't move very quickly. He doesn't move very quickly when he's refereeing, but he was moving. This was the quickest I'd seen him move. And you know, as a martial artist, you're never going to turn your back on someone that's walking with intention.
Right.
So the photograph is him at my desk, leaning over and having an argument with me. Like, that was the misunderstanding. I think that's what got to Dana. I think Dana thought that I'd gone over to the cage door and was like rolling up my sleeves, ready to start scrapping with the dude.
Right.
You know what I mean? Okay. It's a miscommunication.
That's what I thought would happen. That's sort of like that was reported. And so then you run into Herb's wife at a party. And
fake news again, man. I've never met his wife. I didn't even know he was married. So that was a fake Twitter profile that someone created.
So then what happened? You got into an argument at a party? Like what's everyone?
Oh no! So the last thing was it was the head of PR. Like I've been working alongside the PR team for since I signed with the UFC in 2008. They've never been particularly great. I mean, you know, they always kind of drag their feet and do the bare minimum. And I'd mentioned it to a few people that she was not doing a good job, and nothing happened. And one particular morning, she'd done a really bad job of connecting me with BBC Radio for the Conor McGregor fight. And I told her, I told her she was doing a bad job. And she got embarrassed and she stormed off in a huff. And I went into fighter meetings.
Imagine that.
Bullshit, man. I know what Don Fry's got to say about it. He's got some wisdom here. I know that for sure. I saw him manhandling John Jones in a club in Houston one time.
Did you really?
Oh,
yeah.
Wait, Don, you were manhandling John Jones in a
manhandling him. Is the linear heavyweight champion of the UFC right now?
Wait, Don, what happened? What happened with John Jones in Houston?
I have no idea. I was inside of a bottle. Yeah, and pain pills in a bottle. So this is all news to me.
Wait, so hold on, Dan. Where did you saw Don Fry throwing John Jones around at a club?
Oh, he was manhandling him, like arms around him, like body lock over his arms and everything, just picking the guy up, moving him around.
was John Jones laughing, or was he like, "Get off me"?
I mean, he was laughing out of being, you know, a little embarrassed that he was being manhandled. He looked like a big child being carried across the bar.
That's awesome. That is fantastic. Yeah. That's
one of my favorite memories, Don. I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's wonderful.
So Don, you manhandled the greatest fighter of all time, and you have no idea. This is for news to you.
Yeah, this is brand new news to me. I had no idea.
He probably didn't even realize it was John Jones.
Yeah, probably the only reason it happened. Yeah.
That is apparently hilarious.
John's got a sense of humor. Thank God. Thank God he's got a sense of humor.
That's awesome. I actually miss watching you. I remember living in Hollywood though, Dan, and you used to run uphill up Runyon all the time.
Yeah,
like,
man.
You were like, how many, 3-4 times? You were like a psychopath when it came to that.
I had to be, man, because I couldn't wrestle. I had to run fast. It was my only option, you know?
But everyone said also, like, the thing about you is that you used to go to jiu-jitsu classes and you were like a white belt, but you would roll with the black belts. You would find the best guy in there and be like, "You're my partner," which is pretty damn cool.
I just, you know, I've always
been. Tell me when you get better.
Yeah, I've always been stubborn, and I've never minded, you know, being beaten. You know, and unless we're between bells in a professional fight, I'm gonna bite down my mouthpiece and fight you to the death. But if it's in the gym, like, I'm there to learn, and if you're gonna be, you know, celebratory about tapping me in the gym, then I'll beat you up in a fight. You know, I just never associated like my ego with those moments. It was always an opportunity for me to learn.
It's amazing. And then I never understood
what happens in the gym is, you know, you're just trying to learn how you learn something new. You just can't go in there and perfect what you already know, you know. Right. But you gotta broaden your horizon and learn more.
And I never understood that you were going to be a monk. Now, how long did you were you at like the monastery, and did you were you a monk for?
I was there for a couple of months. I was there. My intention was to scout it out and go back and spend 3 years there. But I mean, it was intense. It felt like a whole other lifetime. I've got all my weapons behind me actually down here, with my bow staff and my swords and stuff. It's it was a great learning experience for me. But I realized when I was out there that I like competing. You know, I enjoyed the gathering of the knowledge and learning all the weapons and stuff. And it was cool, but it was like a vacation from what I really wanted to do, which was compete. So it helped me focus what I wanted to do while I was there. Certainly broadened my understanding of martial arts, though.
Now, did they put you up in like a dorm with other monks?
Oh, yeah. No, we were in an old castle. We were staying in rooms in an old castle. There was no glass in the windows. No, you know, it was literally a sack of rice and a mattress made out of straw. It was wow. it was as I could have imagined it to be honest. It was amazing. I've got loads of photos from it and
prison.
Everything. It was a hell of an experience.
You were in prison and found God.
Yeah.
So Dan, so they put you in a room.
Prison and found God.
A bunch of monks, no TV, just books, and then no money. Like, how do you guys pay for things?
No, you don't. You get fed. We were living in the, you know, in the temple with the monks. So we basically trained alongside them.
Have you ever been to an airport?
You know?
Yes. And then do you practice sword fighting with the monks and like Shaolin?
Yeah, man, all of it, all of it. I've got like a lot of stick fighting. We learned a lot of stick fighting, bow staff fighting, and I did some sword forms and stuff, you know, but you know, I just gained as much as I could. I was interested in all different types of kung fu when I arrived there, so I wanted to learn as much as I could. But you know, there was language barriers. It was a lot of kind of watching and copying, and okay, and no, that's no good. And you know, there was a lot of like a lot of communication issues. But it was authentic. You know, that's part of the reason why I enjoyed it so much.
Now, were there any female monks or no?
No, they're all male.
All male. Greg, any questions for the great Dan Hardy?
Yeah, how much do you blame Adam for your loss to GSP? Like a little bit or entirely?
I would say it's probably about 70% his fault.
70, I would say that too. Yeah. I would agree with that. That sounds right. That was where I would lay.
I'd go about 90. I'd go 95.
Yeah, I could be persuaded to push it up. To be honest, I feel like my days were wasted being pinned underneath him on the mat in Legends. To be honest.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sean, any questions for the great Dan Hardy?
No, on a serious note, which is a change for me, I do understand Dan getting upset about a guy, ref not stopping a fight. I get upset at home sometimes when I'm streaming them, the fights, because I won't pay for them. But when I'm streaming them and I see a guy who's clearly out and the ref isn't stopping it, because like when you've been in there and you've done that to somebody or had that done to you, like it's a different perspective, man. Like, you know, like sometimes I'll be screaming, like, stop the fight, man. Like, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Like when you see a guy who's clearly out or clearly done, who's risking his life at that point, continue to take punishment. And I hit a guy. I started yelling at a ref one time during a fight. I was fighting. Look, I had fourth or fifth fight at a local show. I hit this guy probably six times after
he was
out.
Hold on, Don. Is there you have a sword on you? What is Don doing with that sword?
It's like he's slicing a cake with a machete. Pocket knife.
What the fuck? Don, why do you have a machete?
How big are your pockets, Don?
What is going on?
Dan's got one too that he brought back from a monk's retreat, and you know.
You guys not got a knife with you?
I left mine in the other room. I hate to say it.
Oh, bullshit. You're Mexican. You got one on you all the time.
Thank you, Don. Sean, do you want to finish what you were saying before we were
in? Yeah, I can't remember at this point, but when I imagine Don was just now deciding to give himself a circumcision. That's what I was thinking he was probably doing. But I don't know.
I appreciate what you were saying.
I can understand Dan getting upset in person and seeing that, man, because I had a guy I hit five or six times after he was out, and I finally stopped and got up and started cussing the ref out. The guy's having a seizure, foaming at the mouth, and I'm like, were you going to let me kill him? You know what I mean? Like at what point, you know, this was an early fight early in my career, but at what point is it on the fighter to stop hitting a guy whose head is just bouncing off the canvas? You know, like it's just like you don't want to murder somebody, so it's just like I don't know. I can understand. I was on Dan's side on that one for sure, man. It's infuriating, especially with a guy with as much experience as Herb Dean. He should know, you know what I mean, when a fight's over. I thought that the stoppage was way late, and I can understand Dan being upset.
But the thing is with that one, I mean, it was, you know, it was Fight Island, so we're in a massive empty arena. There's nobody there, so it's relatively silent apart from the commentators and the corner teams. It was the second time of the night. There was a heavyweight bout earlier in the night that was a really late stoppage as well. And it was just so visceral because it was so empty. Like, yeah. Jai Herbert hit the floor. You could tell he was out. His hands were reaching out in a fencing response position, clearly not conscious. And there was this long delay, what it seemed like, from Trinaldo before he started throwing more punches. It just, the whole thing just felt really... The thing is, the same thing happened against for CB Dolloway in, I think it was St. Petersburg. And he got the snot beaten out of him for like 90 seconds at the end of the round. And at the end of the round, he stayed on the floor and Herb stood over him like, okay, get up, next round.
Right.
Like, I don't know. Like, the thing is, Herb used to be really, really good, but he slipped a lot recently. And because there's nobody over these guys, you know, making sure they're staying up to scratch, up to the standards, I feel like they dial it in a lot of the time now. And they can get away with it. They can have a late stoppage, an air, whatever. No one's going to mention it. Like that guy, did you see the sub the other week? That guy was choked unconscious. That guy was refereeing on the UFC the following weekend.
That was the worst I've ever seen.
Who's making these decisions? It's madness.
1,000. It's true. And there does seem to be a lot of inconsistency in terms of when they stop, some of them stopping early and then some of them just letting it go for fucking ever. And this is literally fight to fight on the same card. This kind of massive inconsistency between the reffing decision making. So I think that you bring up a good point. It is something I think that needs to be addressed in MMA across the board, maybe.
Look, I mean, the thing is, like, I'm putting my wife into there now, with, you know, with the hopes that the officials are going to look after her. And this from a different perspective, like, I love fighting, right? I want to be able to punch someone as hard as I can, as many times as I can until the fight's over. I don't want to have to be partially refereeing the fight myself because I don't think the referee is going to stop it. Like, that's a primal moment, right? When you guys have been in there, you, like, you feel that primal moment. Sometimes you don't want to try and have to stop yourself because the fight should be stopped. This is why, like, the punching after the bell thing, it's the referee's response to get in between you. Like, I don't remember hearing the bell every time the fight was going on. You know, it's like you're in this primal state. You're primed, ready for warfare. Like, you're going at this individual. I want to know that the referee, the official, is going to save me just as they would save that person from me if I'm the one on the winning end.
Absolutely.
There you go. Right on.
Don, you have any questions for the great Dan Hardy, Don Fry?
And they won't be saving you now.
Best till last, Don. Best till last.
Yeah. Well, listen, congrats on the marriage, congrats on the new job. The thing about you, Dan, man, like, no matter what you do, you always keep coming up, man. Like, they can't put you away. I love it. I love your spirit. I love your fighting spirit. I'm super proud of you, super happy for you. You're probably one of the nicest guys I ever met, and fucking really happy for you, man.
Yeah, and be sure to tell your wife to say congratulations. That scratch she had was fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Dan, when are you gonna drop this Brady? When are you gonna drop this fake British accent? We all know you're from South Alabama. You're a fucking hillbilly.
Well, fucking hell, Don.
Thanks a lot.
We got you, boy. We got you.
Thanks, guys. Great speaking.
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, sir.
Take care, my man.
Bye, sir.
Bye, bye.
All right, that was the great
guy. Guy's a legend. The guy's a legend. The guy's a great fighter and a hell of a guy. And it's great to talk to. It's always funny talking to the British fighters too because they sound so classy about it. You know, it's hard to imagine them switching that into full primal animal mode. You know, because they seem so
proper.
Thank so you. Proper. Exactly.
I honestly used to believe that no one French or Canadian could beat me in a fight. Like, I thought no one that talks like that can beat me in a fight. I literally believed that. Like, they were asking me about whoever it was. I don't know, some French fighter. And I was like, I think it was, what's his name? Chet Congo. Yeah, they were talking about Chet Congo. I said, anyone that speaks French cannot beat me in a fight. I don't care how tough he is. I don't know anybody that talks fancy like that isn't.
That's how I felt until I fought LeBanner.
Yeah. That is definitely the most American analysis you can ever come across.
By the way, before we leave, we got to read some of these comments about Don Fry on the Colby Covington interview, because normally I, you know, the YouTube comments, it's like, you know, I could take them with a grain of salt and yada yada, I don't even, but some of these are so fucking funny.
And they're about me, so you're gonna read them, huh?
Yeah, exactly. So hold on. So the Don Fry one. We're up to 45.
Now the interviews with Colby Covington, one of the top fighters in the world. But the comments are about Don Fry.
So he goes, Don Fry looks so thrilled to be there. His enthusiasm is contagious, right? Can we all agree the best part of this interview was Don acting like an absolute boomer on the Zoom call? I love how Don just lays there uninterested and half dead. best interview. Don, is this weekend at Bernie's? It doesn't get better than Don Fry snoring halfway through the interview. Don's charisma is through the roof. When Don randomly, he goes, Don, look at Don. So funny. Another top thing, Don in the house asking the tough questions. He literally asked one question of why did you ghost me and then went back to bed. He goes, Pretty sure Don was getting a blowjob during this whole interview. Don asks the question and then goes to sleep.
Did someone say Don farted during the interview?
Yeah. They put the exact time that Don farted too.
Yeah.
And, oh my god, this is great. He goes, "Oh, the old dude on the left was a fucking vibe. Laugh my ass off. Laying back, drinking beer, and growling."
That was my bulldog. My bulldog farted.
My goodness. Did somebody teach Don how to use Zoom? Don is dozing off. I mean, it just, oh my God. Don is just so fucking, I want to see more Don Fry videos of him watching interviews.
Yeah, reaction videos of Don Fry. That's right. You should do it.
My favorite part was Don literally being the first fighter in history to get a compliment from Colby Covington. Normally, oh, yeah. It doesn't matter who it is. They'd be like Fedor. He'd be like, "Oh, he fought a bunch of fake fights, like whatever." And Don's like, "Why'd you ghost me?" He goes, "Don, you know I love you. You're one of my heroes. I would never, you know, intentionally do that. Sorry, man. I was busy. I was training. I'll get back to you. I'll call you. I'll never do it again." And he's like, "Okay, so why'd you ghost me?" Like, he wasn't letting him slide on it. Like, the first time ever, Colby Covington gives a guy a compliment, and Don still wasn't winning.
Don's taking a break from going down chimneys. It goes, Don must have had a few drinks. I mean, there, Don, basically every comment is about Don. That is it's the funniest thing ever. Don Fry's my spirit animal. Old man rips ass at 6:34.
There it is.
Now I gotta see it.
Let's hear it.
Don's vibing. Oh my god,
Don, you're a legend even when you're not trying to be. It's really I god bless you. National treasure, Don Fry.
It's the best. Don's on chill mode.
Thank you.
It just keeps going. Why is Don snoring at 3:20?
That's the dog.
The best is like, oh yeah, it's the funniest. Don Fry is like the greatest. He is the greatest. Don Fry starts farting for a good 2 minutes at 3:08. Don Fry's okay. Yeah. Then someone said you look like an old school Batman villain.
That's good. That's a good comparison. Strong comp.
Who, me or Sean?
Sean.
And then someone said, "Who's the fireman?" Sean's a fireman too. Like,
I think they're talking about Don. Don's a fireman with that mustache.
Oh my god!
Some of the comments I don't even get. Like they're like, "Oh, it's hopefully that's not real hurtful," because I don't get it. Like I feel like I'm out of the loop. Like I don't understand what that means. So hopefully it's not a good one. I don't know.
So anyway, listen. This is great. One guy. Who are these turkeys? One guy's falling asleep. Turkeys. Oh god. Anyway, you guys are the best. I hope you guys have a great week, and take care, guys.
Hey, wait. Friday I'm at the Ice House. Saturday I'm at the Haha Comedy Club. There you go. Now you can go.
I'm at the Haha Saturday too. Sean, you got a
then we got
go on, Don. What do you got coming up, Don?
I got tonight we got Chavo Guerrero Jr. on our podcast. We record it and we'll put it out on Wednesday probably. Or Saturday.
Nice. That's amazing. And then, Sean, you have a dog sale?
Chavo's great.
I've still got a dog. That's what it's funny. Everybody thinks like I'm trying to place this poor dog that nobody wants. I have we just had a litter of 9 puppies. I sold 8 of them. I just have one left. And then I was saying, like, for the right home, I'd let it go cheap because I'm just puppied out right now. You know what I mean? Like, I just want ready for, you know, normally I'm getting at least $3,000 or $4,000 for these.
Get out of my house.
I'll send it to you right now if you want it, Don. But I've got a dog. Like, so I put it on there. Everybody's like, "Well, why does no one want that poor dog?" And I'm like, it's not a case of not wanting them. I just, like, I'm real selective. I don't want to go into a breeder. I don't want to, you know, like going to, when someone hits me up and asks me, "Is that dog game bred?" Like, I don't want, I'm not selling a dog to a dog fighter. You know what I mean? So I've gotten 100 messages about the dog. I'm just looking for somebody that wants, like, as a family pet. But I've gotten everybody in the world acting like,
is it a boy or a girl?
It's a girl. But like I said, she's still a $3,000 dog, but I just was, I was saying, if anybody, you know, local wanted, or anybody, you know, like for the right home, I'm just ready to be done with dogs for a little while, like with puppies, you know, because it's my first pup. And, but and people keep hitting me up like, well, there's got to be something wrong if she hasn't sold yet. And I'm like, I no, there doesn't have to be something wrong. I just was saying for the right home, I would let her go because I just want to be done with pups for right now. You know,
what color, there you go. What color is she?
She's a brown. So you probably would like her.
Is it a brindle brown or just a brown?
No, just brown, like dark fawn. Mexican brown, we like to call it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Don, who's on your shirt, by the way? Don, who's that on your shirt?
Masa Saito. Masa Saito, you know? Mr. Saito from wrestling.
Ah, got it.
AWA, WWF.
I thought it was Ice Cream.
You guys didn't know who else was on my shirt, did you?
Oh, Corn Pop?
Corn Pop with a razor blade.
The Joe Biden court?
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah, great razor.
Well, good work, guys. I'll see you guys later. You guys are the best.